Today's topic is how big changes can help you create your new self-care routine with Lorraine Higgins.
Welcome to the Well Woman Show, where we interview women executives, leaders, and entrepreneurs.
And you're listening to the Well Woman Show,
where motivated women achieve fulfillment and well-being.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show.
Take time for myself by coming to things like Well Woman drinks.
To be accepting of myself no matter what. Step away from judgment as much as possible.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show.
You're going to be in for a good ride. I don't regret anything. Everything I've ever done, I've learned from it, one way or another, good or bad.
Being a little bit selfish for yourself, you know, put your own oxygen mask on first and then give what's left.
I'm a woman. I would prefer to tell my own story. My story, though it's very personal, is universal.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show. And now your host, Giovanna Rossi.
Hi, Giovanna Rossi here, and welcome to another episode of The Well Woman Show, where I interview women leaders, executives, and entrepreneurs about their lives and their road to becoming and being who they are today. Are you feeling burned out or finding it hard to focus on your goals? Or are you in transition? Well, you're not alone. We all need to activate our superpowers. These are the internal strengths and abilities we all already have but don't use all the time. Superpowers can be cultivated, and they include empathy, love, intuition, courage, and more. As always, this episode is brought to you by Well Woman Life, a global community of women living our best lives. Whether it's your health, relationships, your money, or making an impact in your community and the world, Well Woman Life has you covered. You've made a commitment to not settle, to use your voice, and to live your best life. Well Woman Life offers annual memberships, workshops, and retreats to support you. Check out wellwomanlife.com/Facebook to join our growing community. Now back to the show. Today's topic is how big changes can help you create your new self-care routine. And hopefully by the end of the show, you'll be inspired to set and implement a new plan for prioritizing yourself and your well-being. My guest today is Lorraine Higgins. Lorraine grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico, attended Catholic University in Washington, D.C., and then completed her executive MBA. She and her family own Orange Theory Fitness Gym, and they're opening their fourth location in the States. In this episode, Lorraine and I talk about how we can live our best lives, how her self-care practice based on diet and exercise healed her diabetes, and how being curious can lead to deeper connections with acquaintances and colleagues. The free giveaway today is the 4 steps to living a well woman life, and you can get it at wellwomanlife.com/KUNM. I really like this giveaway because it gives you 4 quick things you can start doing right away to step into your power and prioritize yourself and your desires. I'll talk a little bit more about these 4 steps at the end of the interview with Lorraine Higgins. Our monthly live event will be our 4th anniversary celebration on September 20th at El Pinto in Albuquerque. Check out wellwomanlife.com/events to register. I also want to let you know that this year's Superpower Retreat will be October 26th and 27th at Sunrise Springs Resort in Santa Fe. So save the date and check out wellwomanlife.com/retreat for more information. You can also continue the conversation in the Well Woman Life community group at wellwomanlife.com/Facebook. I'm so thankful for support from Natural Awakenings magazine in New Mexico, the monthly green, healthy lifestyle publication. Each issue shares national and local cutting-edge information about health, nutrition, fitness, personal growth, green living, and the products and services that support a healthy lifestyle. This month's magazine features an interview I did with Malika Chopra, Deepak Chopra's daughter, about her new book called Living with Intent. Now to my interview with Lorraine Higgins. I'm speaking with Lorraine Higgins this morning. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Lorraine, I want to start with, in the introduction, we heard all about your background and what you do. I wanted to ask you, who are you in the world? We know what all your titles are and all the stuff that you do, and we'll get into some of that. But I'm just really interested in who are you in the world today? Like, who do you identify as?
Well, that's an interesting question. No one's asked me that before. It's interesting when you ask someone to kind of define themselves, and there are so many roles, but the number one way that I would define myself is I'm a go-getter. I'm one of those people that wants to live life to the fullest every day and when I met my husband, he said, I don't care where you're going. I either want to drive the boat or ride the wake.
I love that. I love that. And one of my mottos is make it happen. You seem like a real make it happen kind of woman.
I am, for sure. You give me an idea and I'll come up with 10 different ways to get it fixed. I definitely try to problem solve and make things happen.
So, Lorraine, what are you working on right now and how does it impact women's lives and well-being?
So currently I am working on actually opening another Orange Theory Fitness studio in Midtown. So that'll be our third one here. In addition to that, I am raising some kids and getting them through college. So that will hopefully impact some lives as well. And mostly it's just trying to change lives through fitness and positive energy.
Okay. And I know you mentioned your business and we'll definitely link to that, on the show notes and on the website. What is your approach with fitness? And particularly, I know you're a mom and you have some tips for moms, especially right now going back to school. What do you want to say about that?
So I'm one of those people that has been on every diet, every fitness plan. And the number one thing that works for moms that are busy, because we always put ourselves last, is make an appointment for yourself, schedule it, and hold yourself accountable. Then you are all of a sudden putting your care first and the rest follows in line. So I've had great results because I have held myself accountable. And I would recommend doing that before you get sick. I was recently diagnosed with type 2 diabetes and was in that situation where I truly had to make some decisions. And all of a sudden, it's very easy to make the decisions to get to your workout and to make good eating decisions when the choice is, am I going to eat a Rebel donut or am I going to be able to see in 10 years?
Right. So what do you recommend to people who, this just sounds really hard, like to hold yourself accountable? That sounds great, but like, how do you actually do that? And I talk a lot about this on this show with a lot of my guests in terms of, you know, self-care and prioritizing yourself. But what tips would you give women for actually, you know, making it happen?
So I find that the women I interact with, we're all very similar in the sense that as caregivers and as women, we have to put ourselves last. And every now and then, it's okay to put yourself first and to be able to say, no, I can't go to this or I can't do that or I can't go to that PTA meeting and I have another appointment. And it's very simple. You don't have to tell someone that I have to go to the gym today at 9 a.m. and I can't make that PTA meeting. All they need to know is you have a prior commitment and that commitment is to yourself. So I'm not one of those people that want, you know, preach making yourself weigh each other every week and those sorts of things. But every day making those little tiny changes add up to be big ones. And so if you can just have one little success every day, that means tomorrow you're that much better than you were today. And I'm not saying that you need to make huge changes, drastic changes right away. But if you just take one little step at a time and make yourself come first, it'll work.
And this is a time of year, as we were saying earlier, for women and men, you know, sending their kids back to school. And so it creates a great opportunity to focus on ourselves. And, you know, not all people feel like they have extra time just because their kids are going back to school because they're just busy. Whether their kids are in school or not, they're busy working and doing things. But I do think whether you're working or not or whatever you're up to in your life, when your kids go back to school, that does open up and create some openings for you, your time mentally and physically. And so have you seen a lot of people focusing on fitness at this time of year?
Most definitely. In a lot of ways, this is almost a parent's New Year's Day. When the kid goes to school, all of a sudden, those things that we say, oh, after the kids go back to school, it's like a whole new beginning. And it's funny because my kids went back to school and I turned over to my husband. I said, guess what today is? It's the day the kids went back to school. And it's very much like a New Year's Day. So you can start to regain that little bit of extra time for yourself. And I hate saying extra time and extra money because there is no extra money and there is no extra time. It's just how we choose to maximize the time that we have available for ourselves. So definitely seeing a larger commitment to the self now that kids are back.
I love that. And I love the way you talk about it, because I think a lot of parents feel a little bit guilty when we hear ourselves saying, oh, I'm glad the kids are back at school, out loud. We think, oh, no, I shouldn't be saying that. But actually, it's quite healthy to have some separation and to, you know, to want to get on with other things.
Absolutely. It is healthy. And during the summer months, we definitely do more outside things with the kids. And sometimes once they're not in the picture, you give yourself a little bit of grace period to take it a little slower or not take the dogs for that extra walk, because the kids need fresh air. We need it as much as they do. So the goal during this time of year, especially as we're still rolling into fall, is take that time to continue that commitment for yourself to keep moving.
Okay. And if there are listeners out there who don't have kids or have kids that are grown already, this also could apply to any other kind of caregiving that you're doing, whether you're taking care of relatives, parents, pets. You know, they don't go back to school, but you could take this as an opportunity to create that break for yourself. So if you do long-term caregiving with anyone, animals or people, I would say a big takeaway for me from this conversation is to really build in some kind of break for yourself. Either get some coverage for a couple of weeks so that you can take a break and restart your self-care plan. What would you say about that, Lorraine?
So I would say it's a commitment to self. And if you're a caregiver in general, it's important to find that time for yourself. They say on an airplane, if it's going down, put your oxygen mask on first. And as a caregiver, you're giving your oxygen to everyone else. So be sure and take that time. It could be 15 minutes. It could be 30 minutes. If you're lucky enough to get an hour, that's even better. But take that time for yourself to recharge your battery, refocus, so that when you do step into that role, you're ready for the challenge.
Okay. And Lorraine, I want to touch back on your personal story of how you basically healed yourself. Your type 2 diabetes is in remission, and you are 40 pounds lighter than you were. What was that journey, and what happened there?
Well, I ended up getting very sick, very dizzy, very weak, very low energy, which is not me. And so when I was diagnosed, I was afraid. I didn't know what it was. And my blood sugar was incredibly high. So anyone that knows anything about diabetes, my A1C, which is your long-term indicators, were over 13. That's incredibly sick. It's supposed to be about 5. So now it's down to about 4.5. So I healed myself with diet and with exercise. And when I say diet, I made a very serious commitment to myself that I was going to beat it. And I've seen people around me that just continue to medicate. And I didn't want to be that person. So I really committed to myself and to my health and for my family that I was going to eat right. And consequently, they have to now. And I was also going to take that time. So I exercise very rigorously at 5 to 6 times a week. So one startling statistic that I heard this weekend is that New Mexico is the 33rd obese state in the country. 65% of our adults are obese. And so we are at a critical point where we can heal ourselves with a little bit of discipline. And it goes back to that saying no, not just saying no to others, but sometimes saying no to ourselves in the choices and making those bad choices.
Did you do this healing with diet and exercise alone, or did you do it with the advice of a doctor, books? I mean, how did you navigate that?
So that's a great question. I am fortunate enough that I could use a lot of different venues. So I worked with my medical doctor. I worked with a pharmacist who actually drew my blood and was helping me rebalance my body chemistry. I worked with a endocrinologist who helped me do different kinds of cleanses so that my cells would become more receptive to the insulin my body was producing. And then, of course, in my physical exercise, that was through our fitness coaches. So I couldn't, there's no way I could do it by myself. Mm-hmm. But I was also that person that would research and try different things. And so one month I might try like a high fat diet, low carbs. The next month I might try something different to see which gave me the best results and where I felt the best, because part of it is, how do you feel? And so I would try a certain diet, and even though my diabetic numbers might come down, my energy was really bad, or I felt really lightheaded, so that wasn't a good fit. So it took me almost 18 months to find what was the right sort of cocktail to work between what I could eat, what I can, what I had to output in the exercise portion to be successful.
And take us back to that moment when you were really realizing that you were sick and very, you know, probably at a low point. How did you handle that and get back into action so that you could make this plan and move forward? Because a lot of times that is really hard to do.
I felt really bad. I was sitting in my desk chair and I felt incredibly dizzy. So much so that I had to physically grab onto the chair because I thought I was going to pass out. I was walking down the hall and I would have to hold on to the wall for stability. And if anybody who knows me, I am a firecracker. I walk fast, I talk fast, I move fast. So for me to have to slow down like that was really scary. I was afraid. I was not feeling well. I was sitting at an exposition at UNM and I literally was holding onto the bleacher, having to cognitively think, don't pass out, don't pass out, don't pass out. And it was very interesting because I had just interviewed a potential candidate to come work for me, and she'd been in a diabetic coma for 6 months. So I had just met someone who was so sick, she was in a diabetic coma, and then I was feeling this way. So when I got that diagnosis, I was not going to be that person. That's not going to be me. I was going to fight it with everything that I had. So that's just the passion that I have for myself and for my life.
Okay. And then very quickly, because we don't have a lot of time to go into all the details, and we can put some of the details on the website, but what diet plan did you end up with? Like, what was the combination or balance of nutrition that you ended up really loving?
So with me, it's nothing white. I eat no bread. Fortunately, I can eat potatoes because they don't raise my blood sugar, so I can still have some chips every once in a while, but it's mostly whole foods. So, and the other thing about having support, my husband is very supportive and has the mindset of, we have diabetes. So in our household, we make pancakes that are made with buckwheat flour. We make waffles that are made with coconut flour or almond flour. So we also do a lot of meal prep. And so basically it's very low carbohydrates, high protein, absolutely no rice. Rice spikes it, which is a bummer.
And what about dairy?
I love cheese, and cheese is not a problem for me. So that's been working fine.
Cool. Okay. Now it's time for our segment called Superpowers for Success. But first, a quick word from our sponsor. Being a well woman includes being financially healthy. Our sponsors, Lorraine L. and Kate Stalter of Better Money Decisions, are on a mission to eliminate complexity and confusion from your financial life. They replace Wall Street jargon with straightforward talk you can understand, and they create investment and retirement plans customized for your needs and your future. Download a free copy of their latest book, Don't Let Your Money Kick the Bucket Before You Do, and learn how to avoid the biggest mistakes women make when planning for retirement. Go to bettermoneydecisions.com/wellwoman and download your free book today. We're moving into a segment called Superpowers for Success. And so I want to ask you a few quick questions. The first one is, what does success in life mean for you?
Well, I love that question. It's so different for everyone. And for me, I like being comfortable in my own skin. I like when I get up in the morning and I know where I fit. I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm trying to achieve. That to me is as successful as I can be. When I feel unsuccessful is when I feel as if I've disappointed my staff or disappointed my partners or disappointed my husband. So knowing that I can go out and achieve what I need to achieve every day is how I feel successful.
And when did you know you were really good at what you do?
So I was very lucky early on that I've had several different businesses. I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit, and I knew that I was really good at it when I had a company in Colorado. It was a property management and real estate company, and my dad couldn't understand how I made a living doing it. And that's when I knew that what I was doing, my secret sauce, was different than what anyone else was, because my dad was like, how are you making this happen? And I knew it was just me.
Okay, so that leads nicely to the next question, which is, what superpower did you discover you had, only to realize it was there all the time?
So I would say my superpower is that I have the ability to talk to anyone. I've never met a stranger. And I have had such an interesting life that there's probably nothing that I can't connect with someone on some level, somewhere, someday. And so I have the ability to really connect with people in a very legitimate manner and make them immediately feel comfortable and at home. And they know that they can trust me and I'm willing to help them.
So do you think that's something uniquely Lorraine, unique to your personality? Or is that something that you had to learn and develop over time as well?
Definitely something I had to develop. I am a Leo, so I have a huge personality, but I don't like being the center of attention. I like to be more in the background. I'm the last person to take credit. I like to give credit. I think now that I've gotten a little bit older, I feel more confident in saying, yeah, I did that, or yeah, we did that, and being able to build a team and make things work successfully. I know networking is something that I definitely had to develop. When you go into a room full of a bunch of people, it's human nature to gravitate to the people that you know and what's comfortable. And so the power that I had to really develop was being able to get out of my comfortable zone, being comfortable, being uncomfortable, and walking up to people I don't know and just throwing myself out there.
I love that. Yeah. What are your tips about networking? Because I think that's something that women listening to this show are very interested in. Because let me just say, as an aside, with Well Woman Life, we develop deep connections and relationships with each other and support. It's a supportive community. And so this idea of sort of small talk and networking and passing out business cards horrifies most women in the community. So what would you say to that?
So to become a good networker, you need to ask 1,000 questions. So the first thing you need to do is figure out how to ask open-ended questions to get the people you're trying to connect with to talk about themselves. So it's very easy to ask those simple questions. How are you? You're going to get a fine. If you ask a simple question, so what did you do all morning that kept you busy? All of a sudden you get that person engaged in a conversation and things flow. So the goal would be really learn how to develop those open-ended questions to get people talking about themselves.
Yeah, I always say, you know, be curious. If you're not curious, pretend to be, because if you're not curious about other people, it's going to be hard to connect with them because you're not going to ask them any questions.
Exactly. And there's some people that are much more introverted or private that it's not always going to work, but there's always ways to find something that you can connect with.
Lorraine, what do you do when you have a setback, either in your personal life, your professional life, you know, whatever? What when something happens and you just think, oh no, you know, it can be really hard to get out of that. What do you do?
So that happens daily. I have two questions that I always ask myself. What can I do differently and what can I do better? And I will ask that pretty much after every interaction. Even today after this interview, I'll say, how could I handle that a little bit differently? So as you get setbacks, you have to use that as a place to grow from and not beat yourself up too bad. You can't take yourself too seriously. So when there are mistakes that happen, and we know they inadvertently do, what's going to set you apart is how you handle it. And so ask yourself, what can I do differently? What can I do better? And be sincere about it. And if you're not, can't be sincere with you, ask someone who you trust and say, okay, I totally blew this. What can I do differently? How should I have approached that? Don't be afraid to ask for feedback.
I think that's such great advice. And it really goes to the need for self-reflection and self-awareness. And it's easy sometimes to turn away from that because it's actually, we don't really want to hear the answer sometimes. We're afraid or something. But once you get in the habit of doing it, it's like addictive, right? You create that self-awareness around everything. Next question is, what advice would you give your 25-year-old self?
Believe in yourself. I think I have a daughter who's 22 now, and during your 20s, you're learning how to grow up. During your 30s, you're kind of figuring out where you fit. And then you hit 40 and you know where you fit. And so my 25-year-old self is just trust yourself. You got this. Don't be so insecure and don't be so afraid. Don't hold your own self back. Give it a go.
Love it. And on the Well Woman Show, I often talk about working for social, economic, and political equality for women, which actually is one pretty common definition of feminism. Do you consider yourself a feminist?
I do not. I consider myself a human. And I feel like we have so many different buckets right now of how to categorize everyone. And believe me, I'm all for equal rights, equal pay, but that's for everyone, for different colors, different races, different genders. And so I don't consider myself to fit into one bucket except for the human bucket. Everybody should be just take care of each other. And if we paid a little more attention to who's loving who instead of who's hating who, I think our world would be a much better place.
Great. And then last question, what are you reading right now, Lorraine? What's on your nightstand?
So I just finished reading The Energy Bus and The Ultimate Team Player. And right now I'm reading a book by the same author that is about the no complaining rule. So I try to feed my positive dog with as much material as I can to help build a really positive team.
Awesome. It's been such a pleasure having you on the program today.
Thank you for having me.
So to wrap up the show, I thought I'd share my 4 tips for living a well woman life. Lorraine and I touched on a couple of them already, and so I thought it would be really great to share the 4 steps that I often share with my community. If you ever come to the community events or other talks that I give, but I wanted to share it right here on the radio show since we touched on it today. So first of all, if you're new to the show, I want to let you know that living a well woman life basically means living your best life, a fulfilled life, an honest with yourself life, a life without regrets. With all the ups and downs of life, it's not always a happy and glamorous life, but it is you taking action to achieve your goals and feeling physically and mentally strong enough to do so. And physically and mentally strong enough to do all of the amazing things that you do in your life or that you want to do. So I'm going to give you these 4 quick tips. And the first one is to start saying no. We tend to take on way too many things as women, either due to guilt or trying to meet other people's expectations or fit into a picture someone else has created for us. So I want you to ask yourself, what do you wish you could say no to? What could you say no to in order to open up a yes somewhere else? And just think that through in your life, in your day, in your week. And what do you wish you could say no to that you could actually go and sort of eliminate that from your to-do list and from your energy, really? The second one is we tend to apologize as a way of being as women. Sorry is such a big part of our vocabulary. I want to challenge you to stop using words like sorry and just, and instead dig a little deeper and say what you actually mean. So for example, instead of saying, I'm so sorry I couldn't make it to your event, you can say, I hope you had a great event and I hope I can make it next time. You don't have to explain too much. This is another thing we do. We over-explain as women, maybe as people in general, but I know for sure women do it a lot. And so try to think to yourself, what do you normally apologize for? And just write down a few notes. This is a great journaling exercise, by the way. And then think about how you could rewrite that apologetic language that you usually use. The third tip here, and I've got 4, is to reclaim the word selfish. Selfish really has a negative connotation, but it's actually a good thing, right? We often put everyone else first, work, kids, relatives, pets, you name it, the house, everything. And we leave our needs last on the list. So I want to give you permission, if you need it, you might not need it, but if you do, to really just claim your space and your voice. And if that means feeling a little selfish, it means you can't do something else for somebody else, so be it. The 4th and final tip is self-care. So we've talked a lot about this on the show today. And, you know, as women, we're the foundation of our family and our community. And that's really what the Well Woman Show is about, is that if women and girls thrive, communities thrive. And But when we continuously put ourselves last in order to take care of everyone else, we actually do harm instead of good to ourselves and others. So we really have to prioritize self-care. And as we said on the show today, you know, that really means scheduling it in, making a commitment. And you don't have to explain what it is that you need to go and do. If it's, you know, I need to go meditate or go do my yoga or go on a bike ride or go cook a healthy dinner. You don't have to explain what you're doing. You just say, I have another commitment and, you know, period. So I hope that's helpful. Those are the four tips for starting to lead a well woman life. That's it for our show today. Remember, if you need support to live your well woman life, head over to wellwomanlife.com/Facebook to join us. Our monthly live event, Well Woman Drinks, brings women together to share our successes and challenges as women, leaders, moms, aunts, sisters, and all the other roles we carry. If you'd like to attend a Well Woman Drinks near you, or if there isn't one in your city yet and you'd like to start one, email info@wellwomanlife.com. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment and subscribe in iTunes and leave a review. This helps raise visibility, which is super helpful when it comes to producing the show every week. For feedback, comments, or just to let me know you are listening today, find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Well Woman Life. I'm Giovanna Rossi for The Well Woman Show. Until next time, have a super powerful week.